All right, tonight I'd like to invite you over to Psalm 50, verse 22. Psalm 50, verse 22. Psalm 50, verse 22 reads this way. It says, "Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright will I show the salvation of God." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do come before your throne tonight. We do thank you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together as your people. And then, Lord, once again, being reminded that where two or three are gathered in your name, there are you in the midst. And so we thank you, Lord, for your presence even tonight here in our midst. We do pray for the filling of your Holy Spirit to guide our hearts and minds that we might hear from you and worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, that you might be honored and glorified and highly exalted and glorified in our lives by your power, by your strength. Lord, teach us, help us, give us more understanding of what it means to abide in you and the work you want to do in us. And Lord, how we might be truly the light of the world that you've called us to be. Bless your word, bless your people tonight, for we do ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So there in verse 22, it says, "Now consider this." That's the title of the message, "Now consider this." And God is speaking really to two groups of people to consider what he's saying to them. First, verse 22 says that ye forget not. And then he says also in verse 23, "To him that ordereth his conversation aright." The word conversation, the manner of your conversation, is not just dealing with what we're saying, but how we're living. The manner of our conversation also has to do with the walk of our life. So when we converse with somebody, we're wanting them to understand what we're saying, right? That's the purpose of conversation. I want you to know what I'm thinking. I want you to know by speaking to you, I want you to know what I'm about. Likewise, also, the way that we walk, we are telling people what we are about. People cannot say a word, and you can just watch somebody, and you can pick up what their manner of lifestyle. You can pick up their disposition. You could just watch somebody, and you can tell if they're happy, or if it's really quite obvious, or if they're sad, or if they're mad, or if they're an unkind person. Some people give off an air, and you don't want to get anywhere around them. Some people draw you, right? You enjoy being around them. They're a lot of fun. And so the Lord wants us to have that kind of a conversation in the sense of that honors and glorifies him, that we are filled with the Spirit of God and moved by the Lord. But then he also talks to this other group, and it's those that forget the Lord. So we're going to back up to verse 1, and there's just two thoughts tonight. And that is the first one has to do with them that ordereth his conversation aright, to him that ordereth their lifestyle by the way that God's showing he has something to say to his people is what he's talking about here. And then to those that forget the Lord, these are the wicked, these are the ungodly, and God is not finished with them either. He's wanting them to consider their ways and to repent and to turn towards the Lord and to not take this life for granted. We don't want to just kind of pass through this world, pass through this life, and miss on the purpose of God in our own lives that glorifies him and will bring great rewards in eternity. I mean, we're not doing it really necessarily for the rewards. We want to do it, my heart and mind thinks, for the honor and glory of the Lord because of the salvation that he's given to us. But then at the same time, we also have the opportunity to reap a reward for the glory of the Lord working for the Master. So let's back up to verse 1 very quickly. Again, just two thoughts to those who order their conversation aright and then to those that forget the Lord. Well, let's consider the first thing that he says to them who are the saved, or they're ordering the people of God that are ordering their conversation or their life the right way. And by the way, think about that. You make that choice. You're the one that makes the order, right? Have you ever ordered something at a restaurant, right? And when you order something, do you expect to get a return, right? You expect to get what you ordered. Have you ever ordered something and got somebody else's meal, right? Oh, no, this is not right. This is not the meal I ordered. Unless it's a better meal and somebody else is paying for it. No, I'm just joking. But anyway, we want to make sure that we order to expect what we're ordering in our lives, the way what we're living, and God wants us to understand how that works. So look at verse 1 here. Notice this, and we're just going to look at here the light of God. And we'll see that in verse 1 concerning the light of the sun, in verse 2, the light of his people, and then the light of God's judgment in verse 3. So verse 1 says this, "The mighty God, even the Lord, hath spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof." So this has its order, right? Can you count on the sun to rise tomorrow? Will it be there on time? It's always on time, isn't it? You know why? Because God ordered it. Isn't that good? You can mark it down. You can count on it. You can set your watch by it. God's going to be right on time. So this is important because God is always faithful. Notice this in verse 2. "Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath what? Shined." This is more light, right? And so now we're talking about the light of God's people. And so God has ordained us, even in the Old Testament, that we should shine for the glory of God. Did David shine for the glory of God when he took on Goliath? He did, didn't he? Same way with Joseph, when he submitted himself before his brothers and before Potiphar and before the prison keeper, God was shining through Joseph's life, even through difficulty, even through trial. This is what God is ordering. Let's make sure that we don't give God what he didn't order. We don't like to receive what we don't order. We want to make sure that God receives what he ordered. Look at verse 3. "Our God shall come and shall not keep silence. A fire." Is a fire light? Absolutely. "A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him." So we ought to be concerned. And this fire deals with the judgment of God. Question, where does judgment begin in God's economy? Does it begin in the world or with his people? It begins with his people, right? So we find the light of God in the sun, we find the light of God in his people, and we find the light of God in his judgment beginning with his people. See, we have this idea, this crazy notion that only the Old Testament saints had to really walk a fine line, had to really be careful with how they walked. Question, did things get lax in the New Testament, or did Jesus take it up to another level? He said, "Ye have heard, but I say unto you," right? He said, "Ye have heard it is wrong to commit adultery," right? But for a man to look upon a woman and lust after, he's committed adultery already in his heart. You've heard it's wrong to murder, right? To commit murder. And I'm just paraphrasing here. But the Lord told us, "But I say unto you, if you're angry with your brother or with your sister, you've committed murder in your heart." And so we need to, listen, in a nutshell, we need God's help. Right? We need the Lord's help. But don't count God out to not be faithful and to not be able to do that which he said I can do. So God has called us with a purpose. Is that true? And listen, God has called us to be his light because there are lost souls that are out there that need to see the salvation of the Lord in our lives. Not just this idea. I don't know where it came from. It's not from the Word of God. This idea, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, don't matter what I do now. Right? It doesn't matter how I live. I'll just go to church, but I won't expect anything in my life. Is that really what God's word says? And so here's the whole thing. God says, "I am equipping you. I am giving you what you need, and I will be your strength. I'm going to give you the whole armor of God, and on top of that, I'm going to be your strength." Right? If you can imagine the strength of God in our lives. That's amazing. And so let's not sell God short, and let's walk by faith or trust and say, "I believe you, Lord. And if I'm struggling, Lord, help my unbelief that you might fulfill your purpose for creating me." Did you get that? God's purpose for creating us. God's purpose for creating little old you, right? Little old me. God's purpose. All right, so now we find here the gathering or the calling and the holiness of God's people here. So you see the word gathering, it's the same thing as a calling. God is calling and the holiness of God's people. Look at verse 4. "He shall call unto the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge" who? His people. So judgment begins where? With his people, doesn't it? All right, so he says, he's not even dealing with the lost yet. He's dealing with his people. He says, I want you to understand something. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth that he may judge his people. Gather my saints. Did you see that there in verse 5? This is the calling. Call them. Get them together. Gather my saints together. Unto who? Unto me, unto God. So the Lord is saying, doesn't he say, come unto me? And that, so the Lord is calling us. He's called us. If you're born again, you've been called to glorify the Lord. So he says, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. Now, you're going to see here in just a moment what that the sacrifice is. You know, I'm trusting the Lord. There's two sacrifices. God's sacrifice, and he's our example, so we sacrifice. What are we sacrificing? My will, my way for God's. And we're on the winning side on that. We're going to see things that we would never, that the world will never see, and that believers will never see who don't trust the Lord. So God says, I'm going to show you something, and this honors, and this is my will for you, but this honors and glorifies me, but this brings you into a place, into a realm in your relationship with me that the world will never see. And unfortunately, believers that have been saved, and yes, it's possible for a child of God to be saved and never do anything for God, but I'm telling you, that's going to be a sorrowful day when they stand before the Lord. And by the way, they'll look back and say, I could have had this, that, and the other. But see, the natural mind doesn't understand spiritual things. The natural mind would say, well, you got to go to church? Oh, no, listen, I get to go to church. You have to open up the Bible? Really? No, I get to open up the Bible. You have to pray? Oh, no, listen, I get to talk to God. Amen? And so these are things that God brings to life in the life of the believer. So he says this. He says, I want you to gather to me, specifically, gather my saints, those are believers, right? Together unto me, those that have made covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heavens shall declare whose righteousness? His righteousness. Notice also, for God is judge himself. And then he says, think about this, Selah. He says, meditate on this. God is calling us to himself. God is calling you particular. Wait, who am I that God would call me? Amen? Who am I that God... See, the carnal mind says, oh my goodness, what do you want now? Really? Right? You're going to inconvenience me now from me and mine. Boy, if God would have left me and my alone, I'd be dying and going to hell. I am so glad God interrupted my life, got my attention, and showed me I needed him. Amen? And I will never regret that day. And you know what? Listen, every day with Jesus is even better than the day before. That's true. And so may we seek the new things that God wants to reveal to us. Listen, salvation was just the beginning. And there's so much more to follow if we'll just trust the Lord. See, some believers look at their salvation like, well, that's the best thing I'll ever get. No. You don't know God then. You don't know God as he would have you, because he wants to bring you into his presence when you call on him. When you spend time in prayer, he wants to bring you into his presence. God Almighty, not just anybody. He wants to bring you into where you are on holy ground. And that's why it's important for the believer to set aside some time in the day, morning, evening, at whatever the best time for you, but consistently, and a place. Just like Daniel did when he opened up his windows, right? And he faced toward Jerusalem. He was meeting with the Lord. It's okay. Face a window if you want to and talk to the Lord. If you can't kneel, that's fine. Find a chair somewhere. But make the time, because God is worthy of our time. And if we neglect that, we're saying, God, I'm too busy for you. I can't put 5 minutes out to sit down and make an appointment with you. My life is too busy. And if that's the case, as the saying goes, it is too busy. There's some things you need to get rid of to make the effort, because our God is worthy. Our Savior is worthy. And listen, that is what is crippling. That is part of what is crippling the church. God's people don't see God important enough to make 5 minutes for Him alone. Not just in the car, not just walking somewhere, but I have a specific designated place for prayer and meeting with the Lord. That's important. And God wants His people to realize that, because He has a purpose for that. Notice verse 7, He says, "Hear, O my people." So He's speaking to His people, right? "And I will speak. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am God, even thy God." So he is correcting His people first. And He's saying, listen, you're neglecting me. You're not where you should be. You're not going to experience, and what's going to happen is you're going to dry up because you're not connected. You're not abiding in the vine. Amen. We're the branches. The Lord is the vine, and He's going to bear the life through us, and He's going to bear the fruit through us. Did you get that? When we're abiding in the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ is the way, the life, the truth, and the life, and the way. Amen. And He will abide. He will bear the fruit, as long as we're abiding in Him. But we're not going to be abiding for Him if we can't find 5 minutes to get alone with the Lord. Listen, that has to be important. Lord, You are important enough for me to designate a time, just You and me. Family devotions are important. Get together and pray with your family. If they're willing to do that, do that. But we need a time alone personally with the Lord, where we get alone with Him and we say, "Here I am, Lord. Because You are worthy and You're important, and this appointment is good for me to keep with You." Daniel kept it, amen? And Job kept it, and he prayed for his family, as you remember there. All right. So He says this, verse 8, "I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds." You know what He's saying? Your monetary sacrifice is not really what I want. You know what He wants? You know what He wants. He wants us. See, I didn't have to tell you that. That, right? That was the Lord already telling you. You know what He wants. Verse 10, "For every beast of the forest is mine." He says, "I don't need that. And the cattle upon 1,000 hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, all of them. And the wild beasts of the fields are mine, all of them." All of them, He says. This is not what's... "If I were hungry, I would not tell thee. For the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High." He says, listen, we need to have a thankful heart. If we're saved and God has redeemed us, how often should we thank the Lord? Should we at least thank Him once a day? At least? Should we at least not get along with the Lord and say, "God, You are worthy for me to take 5 minutes out of my day to call upon You and tell You how thankful I am for what You've given to me." And listen, you know what you could also pray for? You could pray for the lost loved ones that you might know, or lost friends that you might know. That's a good thing to do. You might even take time and pray for your church, amen, that God would send revival in all of our lives and all of our hearts, that He might be honored and glorified, that we might experience, listen, in revival, that we might experience God's power, amazing power that is patient, kind, and everything we need at the time we need it. Lord, that You would make me Your representation, Your ambassador. And what's God's ambassadors like? Well, you know, they're excited about the things of God, God's ambassadors. And they have the peace of God. And they're easily approachable, right? And they're caring people. And why is that? Because God is those things. And we're experiencing the Lord. Don't manufacture it. Ask God, "Lord, I don't understand, or I want You to show me how You're going to do all this through me." Listen, that's not automatic, is it? When you get saved, Tell me this is not the case. When you get saved, now you say, okay, because I love the Lord, let me roll up my sleeves and do something for Jesus. And that's the truth. Every child of God, I'm convinced, is involved in, I'm going to do this in my strength because I love the Lord. And we get it wrong. We get it wrong. Abraham got it wrong. Peter got it wrong. And the list goes on. The majority of God's people, they think they've got to do it in their own strength. And it's never going to work. And God is saying, no, 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 listen, follow me and I'll show you the way. And we're so, man, listen, let me tell you what we're going to do, God. Let me just tell you how we're going to glorify you. And what do you think? Do you think God's impressed with that? Or do you think he's up there going, okay, let me know when you run out of gas. Let me know when you run out of your power. And then let me remind you that it's my power, not yours, that will glorify me. And when you're ready to seek me, I'll show you some great and mighty things that you never thought about. That you never thought about. I've seen some things in the Bible, words that I've never seen before. And I have read the Bible many times through. And I thought, how did that one get past me? And I had to go look it up because I didn't know what it was. It was dealing with the crown. It was like the word pate, P-A-T-E, and another word that I've never heard before. And I thought, where did that word come from? You know why? Because I'm a human being. And sometimes I can get a little distracted and miss out what God is saying. How about you? And so, see, God is an amazing God if we'll let him be. If we'll let him be that in our lives. All right, very quickly. So he says, I want you to know something. I have everything, and what you need is everything I have to give you. He says, I don't need... What I need from you, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving. And you can't be thankful for something unless you're thankful for something. I know that's kind of redundant, but it's the truth. So let me qualify that. If God is not awing you, if God is not wowing you, you have nothing to be thankful for. Now, you could be thankful for your salvation, but do you know that God wants to show you how he delivers you? God wants to show you how he delivers you from what? I didn't even have to tell you that. You know that the greatest deliverance we need is from ourselves. We need to be delivered from our way of thinking. And may God make that ever prevalent. Listen, we could be thankful that God showed us that we need deliverance from ourselves. When I first got saved, I didn't think I needed to be delivered from myself. I thought I needed God to make myself stronger. And so I had it backwards. All right. So now watch this. Ready? And verse 15, watch this. And call upon me in the day of trouble. Why? I will what? Deliver thee. And when he delivers us, what will we do? We'll glorify the Lord. Deliver us from what? From ourselves. The next time, listen, we ought never think this, ready? Well, I'm just going to give them a piece of my mind. Who's in control right there? Not God. Not God. Who's in control? We are in control. Well, listen, God, I need you to deliver. So you know what? So I come into a situation where I knew that George Janshall by himself would have gave that person a piece of his mind, and he doesn't do it because the Spirit of God is on me and leading me to be in his peace and his joy and to look at that whole circumstance quite differently and say, you know what? It's because they probably don't know Jesus. And aren't you glad that you're allowed to suffer for my honor and glory? That you could be like me because of me, that I'll give you the strength and I can walk away praising God 10 feet off the ground saying, thank you, Lord. You have done it again. Amen? You've done it again. All right, very quickly. So as we consider this, listen, you know, God calls us so that we're able to call on him. That's what it is. God calls us. That's what he's called us to do. To call on him. Isn't that what he tells us over and over again in the scriptures? Have you ever wondered why God says that over and over and over and over and over and over and over? Because we need it. Right? It's important. It's important. And he knows that we don't catch it right away. You know what he knows about mankind? We're filled with ourselves. We need to be delivered from ourselves. We're so preoccupied with ourselves that we can't hear God. And so that's why the Lord said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny. Oh my goodness. You're going to have to deny yourself. So if you're not denying yourself, where's God? You're not. He's not in sight. You're not following him. I'm not following him. I want you to know. The message is coming to me too. Listen, we are sharing the message of God to us. God is reminding us that we need him. And we have so many. Listen, I'm not going to ask you to confess anything, but how many times did you have a good idea? No, a great idea, and it just backfired. That's what happens when we have our ideas. God says, if you follow me, I'm going to show you the way to where you will glorify me and have peace and joy all through the way. But there's one thing that's required to follow after the Lord. Do you know what that is? Faith. Trust. You have to trust him. We like to say we trust the Lord, yeah, for our salvation, but how about for every day? Amen. Yeah, he's delivered me from my sin, but how about every day? Amen. All right, last thought here. And we're just going to go through this quickly and look at the lost world, because God doesn't want them to be forgotten, even though they've forgotten him. So otherwise, he would have said nothing. Listen, if God didn't care about the lost soul, he would never tell them their peril they're getting ready to face. If God did not care about lost souls, he would not tell them what was going to happen to them. He tells them what's going to happen to them so that they can fear a holy and righteous God and recognize the error of their way and turn back to him. Amen? Or turn to him for the first time. All right, so notice verse 16 with me here. Ye that forget God. And really, we see how the wicked hold the word of God, right? Verse 16 says this. But unto the wicked, God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes? You ever, that's crazy to me. People that can't stand God, popular people, all of a sudden now they bend the word of God to throw it in somebody's face. They start quoting scripture, and then I love it when people that you know blaspheme God. I really don't love it, all right? But when they blaspheme God, and then they want to tell Christians how they ought to live. They you could just tell their demeanor, what they're all about. They're vulgar and their whole outlook, and now they want to tell God's people how to live. Now watch this. Notice what he says here. But unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to declare my statutes, or that thou shouldest take my covenant in thy mouth? You shouldn't even speak the words of God, is what they're saying. You're a vile, wretched person. Now you're going to pick up the words of God like God's done something for you, like God has positioned you to be his ambassador, and he's not. Seeing thou hatest instruction and castest my words behind thee. They'll preach, but the word of God, they would just throw it on the floor. When thou sawest a thief, then thou consentest with him and hast been partaker with adulterers. Thou gavest thy mouth to evil and thy tongue framed deceit. Thou sittest and speakest against thy brother. Thou slanderest thine own mother's son. These things hast thou done, and I kept, God, and I kept silence. And because, notice this, thou thoughtest I was altogether, because God was quiet, thou thoughtest I was altogether such an one as thyself. Isn't that what they do? They begin to tell people what they think God would say. You know why? Because they think God thinks like they think. And guess what? He doesn't, does he? He does not think that way. And so he says, you are filled up with all these things, and you thought that I was altogether, verse 21, such an one as thyself, but I will reprove thee and set them in order before thine eyes. You know what God is saying? If the lost world that is trying to go ahead and use God to benefit themselves would read that portion of Scripture, And they were at least willing to hear from the Lord, they would see that, oh my goodness, that's right. I was thinking God thought like I thought, and he doesn't think like me. And all of a sudden, now all of a sudden they can see God's after me. I'm guilty before the Lord. So you know what this is really? This is mercy, because God is wanting them to know this. And so notice, he says, because of the way, listen, the judgment of God escapes nobody. No one. No one is exempt. Do not think, because you're a child of the King, that God is happy if we are willfully walking against his ways. He is long-suffering, he's patient, he is kind. But that is not going to slide. And the reason for that, the reason why, listen very carefully, is because the blood of Christ, the life of Christ, the death of Christ, and the resurrection, and everything that Christ went through was for our benefit. That he would be glorified in our lives. And if he's not having his will and his way, and he's not being glorified, and we're not fulfilling the purpose every day, there's something wrong, and we need to bring it before the Lord. Don't get it in your mind, I'm going to try better. No, no, no. Bring it before the Lord. Lord, I'm giving you my life. I'm yielding it to you. I'm presenting myself that you might do what you want in my life. That'd be an excellent prayer for every child of God. Lord, your life, my life is yours. And by the way, in saying that, his life will be ours. Verse 22, last two verses. Again, now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. He's talking to the lost world, isn't he? Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, listen, will I show the salvation. He's talking to the child of God too. Listen, whoso offereth praise, and why would you praise? Because God's doing something. Glorifieth me, that means you're walking in step and I'm blessing you, and to him that ordereth his conversation aright, will I show the salvation of God. We need to be saved more than just for our eternal salvation. We need to be delivered. Salvation, we need to be delivered so that God's power and life might shine through ours. Lord, deliver me from my way of thinking and look to what you said you will do in my life as a believer. So tonight, and I know it went a little bit long, but this is important. It behooves the believer, it behooves the lost person, but it behooves the saved person to consider what God is saying. Amen? When does he say consider it? Now. Consider this. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word. We do thank you for the reminder that you give to your people and your mercy that you give to the lost world that they might repent and turn to you. But Lord, may we, as your children, as your people, not take for granted that you've saved us with a purpose, and that purpose is to glorify you on this side of eternity so that we might be your light by your power and more souls would be saved. May we not be self-centered and neglect such a great price that was paid for each and every one of your children. Bless again, Lord, your word. Bless your people, Lord. Call us unto yourselves. Do a great work that would glorify you and Lord, bring your power into our lives that we might truly have all kinds of occasions and reasons to praise and glorify you for the work that you do. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.